Today on the Wisdom Journey, we come to Hebrews 2, where the author warns us about the danger of spiritual drift. Just like children playing in the ocean can drift away from the shore, we too can drift away from the essential truths of our salvation. You're called to pay close attention to what you've heard, so you don't neglect the great salvation given to you through Jesus. Learn more about holding fast and refusing to drift away.
Many years ago, my wife and I took our young children to the ocean where they ran and splashed and played. We set up an umbrella and unpacked our things, and we wanted to do really nothing as mom and dad, but sit there while they ran around and swam in that pounding surf. Well, I noticed that even though the water was never past their knees, they would be pulled ever so slightly down the beachfront by the water's current. I often had to holler for them to turn back up the beach and stay in front of us. I told them to use our umbrella as their marker to stay in front of us. But that didn't seem to help much. Often they had to get out of the water and run all the way back up to where we were. You know, I couldn't help but think that the current of our world can cause us to drift over time. Our own fallen nature pulls us away from spiritual truths. We can lose sight of where we once were and where we need to get back to time and time again. Well, as we set sail today into the second chapter of Hebrews, we're given a warning from the Lord through this inspired anonymous author. He writes here in chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." Now, what exactly were these Hebrew believers in danger of drifting away from? Well, it was the simple truth of salvation. The writer explains further here in verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" Now, don't misunderstand here, beloved. He doesn't say they were in danger of rejecting their salvation, but of neglecting it. He's not writing to unbelievers to get saved, but to believers to pay attention to the great salvation they've received from the Lord. He's warning his readers not to drift away from the essential truths of the gospel, which he writes here in verse 3, was attested to us by those who heard. In other words, the gospel was attested. It was proven to be true by that apostolic community who literally heard Jesus personally, and then they passed it on. He writes further here in verse 4, "God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit." God bore witness to them. That is, he authenticated his true messengers. How? By giving them these miraculous signs and wonders. So the apostles' message was validated by their miracles. And those miracles, beloved, were unique to the apostles. Before the New Testament was completed, this was necessary to prove their message was indeed supernaturally given from God. True preachers today don't have to raise the dead or perform some kind of miracle to prove their authenticity. Now they are tested by how true they are to the Word of God. So here's the warning. Don't drift away from the greatness of your salvation. Secondly, don't drift away from the glory of your salvation. The author writes here in verse 6, "It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him?" Now, before I comment on this, I got to tell you, I find this very encouraging here. You might have noticed the writer is quoting from Psalm chapter 8, but he says here that it has been testified somewhere. Sounds like he can't remember the reference. And that's an encouraging thought to me. I don't know about you, but I can often quote a verse, but I can't remember the reference. Well, now, in this author's defense, The Old Testament wasn't divided in his day with chapters and verses. Deuteronomy or Isaiah were just long scrolls. The first English Bible to be published with both chapter and verse divisions was the Geneva Bible back in the 16th century. Chapters and verses were added to help believers find their place, study their Bibles, memorize verses, and of course teach it to others. So when you find New Testament authors quoting Old Testament passages like he just did here, they can't give chapters and verses as references because there were none. Well, the writer here is quoting from Psalm chapter 8, and that refers to all that mankind lost back in the Garden of Eden. God had made them, he writes here in verse 7, for a little while lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Well, this was God's original creation. Adam and Eve had everything under their feet. They were the king and queen in the Garden of Eden. The animals were their subjects, and the garden was their palace grounds. But sin ruined it all, didn't it? They lost their crown, and mankind today is not exercising dominion over creation. I can't control one bird that lands in my backyard. Not one squirrel that chews a hole in my screened-in porch is ever going to listen to me, much less obey me. Well, you know, that's going to change one day because of what Jesus will restore to his redeemed. More on that later. Verse 9 now begins to tell us about the Lord. But we see him, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. Verse 10 tells us that he's going to bring many sons to glory as the founder of their salvation. In other words, Jesus, who entered the human race, is going to restore the glory and dominion back to mankind that was lost by sin. Adam's race hasn't possessed any of that since sin entered the world, but that's going to change one day. The Apostle Paul calls Jesus the second or the last Adam in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 45 to 49, he's going to create a new race, a redeemed race, and he's going to regain what Adam lost. Just look at the life of Jesus as he walked this earth. His actions give us a little foretaste of what he's going to restore to us one day. He exercised dominion over the fish, telling them where to swim. That's Luke chapter 5. He exercised dominion over a rooster, making it crow at just the right moment when Peter denied him. That's Luke chapter 22. He exercised dominion over wild beasts. We're told that Jesus was among the wild animals while in the wilderness for 40 days. They were under his control. That's Mark chapter 1. Jesus exercised dominion over an unbroken colt, upon which he rode into Jerusalem, Mark chapter 11. Jesus exercised dominion over the wind and the waves of the sea, commanded them to be silent. And as his subjects, as it were, they obeyed. That's Mark chapter 4. We could go on and on and on. Let me tell you, beloved, your great Savior is going to give you back that crown one day, and you will reign with him on a new earth. I can't even imagine all that that means, but I can tell you that it will be glorious. This is the future glory of your salvation. Now, upon what basis can we hope for such a future glory? Well, we're told not to forget the great truths of our salvation. We're warned here not to drift away and forget about the glory of our salvation. Well, let me give you one more thought. Finally, we're told not to forget about the great sacrifice of our Savior. Here in verse 14, the writer speaks of the Lord's sacrifice and what it means. He writes, "Since therefore the children, that is of God, share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil." Now, before I move on, what does this mean? What power of death does the devil have? He can't determine when somebody dies or even how. That's up to God alone. Well, Satan's power is taking advantage of the fear of death that everyone experiences. Verse 15 tells us that the fear of death enslaves people. It terrifies them. The older people get, the more bound they are in fear of dying. But the believer's different. Jesus offers deliverance from that fear. He replaces it with anticipation about our future, when our salvation will open the doorway of heaven. So, beloved, don't allow yourself to drift away from these great truths. The truth of your great salvation, the future glory of your salvation, and by all means, the great sacrifice of your Savior, which made salvation possible when He became your merciful and faithful Redeemer. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Refusing to Drift. You've learned that drifting away from the truth is a real danger for all of us. But Hebrews 2 reminds you to anchor yourself in the great salvation you have in Jesus Christ. He not only redeems you, but also promises future glory where you will reign with Him. So, stay focused on His Word and the salvation He provides, keeping your eyes on the eternal rewards that await you. Could you use more wisdom to help you navigate life's complexities? I invite you to become part of a community we call Friends of Wisdom. It's absolutely free to join. Each week, you'll receive encouragement to help fuel your spiritual growth. Every Tuesday, you can look forward to an insightful article from Stephen, designed to help you apply God's Word to your daily challenges and decisions. Sometimes Stephen answers a Bible question he received. You'll also enjoy a variety of free resources delivered straight to your inbox, including ebooks, study guides, and more. As soon as you sign up, you'll receive two immediate gifts. You're going to receive Blessed Assurance. That is Stephen's booklet that has helped thousands of people gain clarity and confidence in their salvation. The other is called The Coming Tribulation, which answers common questions about the end times. Sign up today at wisdomonline.org/friends. Do that today, then join us back here next time on The Wisdom Journey.